Namaste and blessings. Welcome to Meditative Living with Swami Shivananda Giri, bringing you the teachings, the blessings, and the Shakti of His Holiness Mahamandaleshwar Paramahamsa Swarupananda Vishwaguru Maharaj of Los Angeles, California, who in 2007 became the very first white-skinned, American-born individual to be invited into the rank of the 80 Mahamandaleshwars within Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma, more commonly referred to as Hinduism, around the world. But the actual correct and ancient name for it is Sanatana Dharma. This Swami welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all. Here on our new platform, www.type1, the numeral one, type1radio.com. Now the platform to reach all things Type 1. You get Sonic's music breaks. You get the Saturday lounge and news bong programs and Sunday's SRA Today with Jay Parker. All here on type1radio.com. Let us continue with the effort we've been engaged in for a couple months now, going over a book called The Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, with commentary by Acharya Kedar. And let me give you just a brief intro. Ganesh Puri is a village in India which grew up around Bhagwan Nityananda because he stopped there. And a whole town grew up around him. Ganesh Puri means the place of Ganesha, So this is where he set up, and for the final years of his life, he established his ashram and taught many, 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 many people. Over time, see, one of the interesting things or odd things about Bhagwan Nityananda was he rarely spoke. He was not the type of teacher who would launch into hour-long discourses explaining things. He just wasn't that way. He was mostly silent, always focused inward. What occurred was a number of disciples started, every now and again, he would just say things, just come out and start saying stuff. And very often, things of very deep meaning. And a group of disciples started noting down what he would say when he would make statements. Over time, there became a collection of things he had said. This collection of statements was put together under the guidance of a female disciple named Tulsi Amma, who put them all together and then went to him and asked if they could get them published. And he, it's not, I've not come across anything that says whether he even spoke or just nodded his head, which he nodded his head a lot. I was just like, yeah, whatever. So then the book, the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganesh Puri, came to be published. Today we press on with verse 147. Nityananda said, "Gas light has no luster before the midday sunlight. Light is of use only when it is dark. When a man is hungry, he does not consider the difference of castes. Similarly, in sound sleep, there is no hunger. Then manas, or mind, is absent. Just so, a man must sleep the sleep of yoga. Only such men are gyanis," which means knowers. Acharya Kedar's commentary. In the direct light of the sun, all other light dissolves, and only the sun is seen. Similarly, where there is no darkness, light is not even required. Just as when you are hungry and go to a restaurant, you will eat food without asking the race or background of the cook. In the same way, when your consciousness is merged in God, differences dissolve, and there is no longer any duality. Only God exists. Just as there is no hunger when you are sleeping soundly, because the mind is absent in deep sleep. In the same way, you must sleep the sleep of yoga and allow your mind to dissolve in Shiva consciousness. In the uninterrupted state of constant rapture, that is mukti, or freedom, the mind dissolves, the world dissolves, the universe dissolves, and only Shiva remains. Those in this perfected state of equality consciousness experience only God everywhere. Such people are gyanis, or knowers. Verse 148. Nityananda said, take 10 men. Their bhakti, or their devotion, is not of an identical nature. When 10 people are going on a journey, if one of them sits to take rest, the remaining 9 will also do the same. Likewise, one man is inspired with bhakti. Other people, by seeing or hearing him, become also bhaktas. Acharya Kedar's commentary. People love God and desire to know God in varying degrees, and some are not interested at all. But just as people on a hiking trip will stick together and stop for rest together when the leader designates, those whose love for God is weak or non-existent can be encouraged to increase their faith and devotion. This is what bhakti refers to. Just by the example set by one person who loves God completely. Therefore, keep good company. Keep the company of those saints who have realized God, who have become absorbed in the goal of the path. By doing so, you will be taken across by your love and devotion for such siddhas. Siddhas are those who have reached the goal. Just by keeping their company, you can be transformed into a lover of God. Verse 149. Nityananda said, you do not feel the scent of a flower which is in your hand. Flowers which are distant smell sweet. Babies whose brains are not developed see no difference in the things of the world. When their brains are developed, they see the difference in things. Until a baby is 6 months old, it feels no differences. A first-class yogi is like a baby of this type. If you give a diamond to a baby, it will throw it away. To such babies, pebbles and diamonds are the same. Similarly, to true gyanis, or knowers, a lump of earth and a gold coin are the same. They have no desires of any sort. They see the one everywhere. All is seen in the one and the one in all. This vision is internal. What is called internal vision is subtle discrimination. Subtle discrimination is Shiva Shakti. Shiva Shakti is the indivisible Shakti of the Parabrahma. What is Parabrahma Shakti is the one reality. Acharya Kedar's commentary. As we grow older and become more and more attached to the ramblings of our own mind in the pursuit of worldly pleasures, we consider ourselves to be mature and more intelligent. So intelligent that we start to take many things for granted. Just as we smell the scent of a flower at a distance, but cannot feel the scent of a flower in our hand, with the passing years, we learn how to make distinctions and differences that prevent us from seeing the one in the many. A baby of 6 months or less does not have a developed brain that makes such distinctions. At this age, we see no differences. A diamond is the same as a handful of dirt to us at this age. We have not yet learned distinctions like mine and yours. We simply dwell in a state of constant wonder where we see our own simple nature reflected everywhere. This is the state of a child up to 6 months old. A first-class yogi is like a baby of this age. Such a yogi lives in a desireless state, seeing everything and everyone as the same Shiva Shakti. That same indivisible one that is the absolute. For such a person, only God exists and nothing else has value aside from Shiva Shakti. Stepping away from the text for a moment, kindly allow this Swami to share. From the personal level of perception and interaction through the physical vehicle we know as the body and its sensory inputs. Even when you are in the enlightened, liberated state, you are still aware of the input of the senses, but you are no longer limited strictly to the senses. There is something more. Now you are still interacting with the sensory input. You are still quite aware of what is going on and what your senses touch and what is reported to the externally focused mind by the sensory systems, which you may enjoy, you may dislike, or you may have no feeling about whatsoever. And that's one of the things that occurs as we become more and more and more stable in the enlightened state, is we become less and less and less, let's use the word opinionated. Things become less important. Either way, whatever, that becomes something we begin to think in regard to the sensory input. Okay, it could be that or it could be something else. I don't care, whatever. You know, I mean, that's not an ignoring of the input. It's just seeing that it really doesn't matter one way or the other. It's going to be one way or the other, yes, but we're not completely invested in one or the other. Either can be, and either will be okay. You know, it's when the when you are no longer functioning from the primarily individual state, this is what begins to show itself. This desirelessness, this non-attachment. It could go to the left, it could go to the right, but I'll be just fine either way. So let it be whatever it is. But this doesn't mean that everything will please you. No, you'll still have likes and dislikes according to your own personality, okay? Because you're still a human. And being wrapped up in the human package and functioning through it means there will be these things. They will just not be as important as they once were. I hope that helps that make a little bit more sense. Verse 150, Nityananda said, reality is the prana in man. He is a man who thinks or ruminates rightly. This correct thinking or right discrimination is the goal is the real goal of man. Everything is attainable by practice. By practice, everything becomes known. Acharya Kedar's commentary. Shiva consciousness is the reality. This reality takes the form of prana in a human being. The energy, stepping away from the text for a moment. In this case, saying prana is referring to the energy which enlivens the physical form and its attributes. Back to the text. That person is God, who constantly contemplates his or her own true nature by experiencing God within. This experience is correct thinking. It is right discrimination and is the real goal of life. Through sadhana, or practice, under the direct guidance of a qualified guru, all this becomes known firsthand. By practice, you become one with God. Verse 151. Nityananda said, if you keep a seed safe in a box, it will not yield plenty. If you sow it in the earth and cultivate it, one seed yields thousands. From one lamp, you can light 1,000 lamps. One tree produces thousands of flowers. Flower is the downward state. The tree is the upward state. Acharya Kedar's commentary. It does not take many seeds to create others. Even one seed sown in the earth will yield thousands more. From the flame in one lamp, you can light thousands of other lamps. Just as even one tree will produce thousands of flowers. In the same way, it does not take many people to change the consciousness of the masses. Even one siddha can affect transformation in the lives of thousands. We should all become like those saints, those perfected beings, by inquiring as to the true nature of their state inside. Rather than becoming attached to the objects and forms of this world, we should seek to know the upward state that is supreme consciousness dwelling inside a human being. Verse 152. Nityananda said, if we sow a gold coin in the earth, it will never sprout. Acharya Kedar's commentary. A gold coin will not multiply into other gold coins if we put it in the earth. That would be the wrong way to invest it and a waste of time. To make a gold coin multiply, you have to invest it properly. In the same way, if we invest our entire being in sense pleasures and worldly pleasures, and if we only establish an intellectual understanding of God, these will never transform us. We will never know our true worth, our real value, our own divinity. In order to experience our own worth, we have to go to the right place inside our own being and merge with the absolute there. We should invest our time and our entire being in this way. Stepping away from the commentary. That is the point of meditative living. It does not come quickly, it does not come easily, and it requires constant, vigilant attention. And that is how we overcome the limitation of individuality. Sometimes it's simple, joyful. Sometimes it's very, very difficult and dark. But all of these possibilities are part of the spectrum from which our experiences come. Regardless where on the spectrum of possible experiences and reactions, there is a, let's use air quotes here, place that is not subject to anything within that spectrum. It is prior to the spectrum, and what will still be exactly the same when the spectrum ceases to exist. And that is what we refer to as the big S self, God consciousness, Shiva consciousness, liberation, Jivanmukti, freedom while embodied. That is the goal. Not merely to see it or think about it or agree with it, but to sit there, while everything else plays out and bees whatever it is. Sonic, let's go ahead and do the break song. We'll be back here in just a little bit on Meditative Living.
Shivaya, Namah 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 Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Jiva, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Jiva, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Jiva, Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Jiva.
Continuing now with verse 153 of the Chittakasha Gita of Bhagwan Nityananda of Ganeshpuri. Oh, and I forgot to mention this at the beginning. The reason I'm even engaged in this particular document, book, is because Bhagwan Nityananda was the guru of my guru's guru. Okay? So within the tradition that this Swami represents, within the teachings and the practices that this Swami assists others with, this man and what he accomplished and what he knew are exceedingly important. Verse 153, Nityananda said, "A lifeless thing is soundless. It is gross. A living thing has Shabda Brahma, or can produce sound. The universe is nothing but consciousness. When you build a house, you must first lay a foundation and afterwards raise the walls. So also, there is no effect without a cause." Acharya Kedar's commentary: just as something that is dead cannot produce a sound, an object, person, place, or thing has no life without God. The universe is nothing but this supreme eye consciousness that is Shiva Shakti. Contracting it to become the sound inherent in living things, Spanda, which means the vibration of the sound of Shiva Shakti, Spanda takes all the forms of existence. It is this Spanda Shakti that is the cause. Objects are only reflections or effects of this unifying God principle. Without Spanda Shakti, nothing can exist anywhere. Therefore, God Himself is inherent in all forms, sentient and insentient. As in the building of a house, society must be built on a solid foundation, which is God. Otherwise, there can be no real intelligence. Verse 154. Those who are physically blind, Nityananda said, those who are physically blind have no knowledge of forms. To such, light is of no use. Those who have destroyed mental modifications have destroyed all desires. Such people are not subject to to dreams. Acharya Kedar's commentary. The blind have no knowledge of forms. To the blind, everyone looks the same. A blind person has no use for light. Similarly, a siddha, again a perfected being, who has destroyed all mental modifications and notions of this and that, a perfected being who has destroyed all expectations of sense pleasures and worldly pleasures, no longer has use for craving or desire. Such a person is not subject to the manifestations of the restless mind in the waking state or in the dream state, and is not subject to pleasure and pain. Stepping away from the text for a moment, let me explain a bit about this, not being subject to pleasure and pain. This is another thing that gets very, very misunderstood. Because to someone outside of that being's body, they will observe them reacting to pain and to pleasure. That's not what this means. This means that at the deepest part, where they are sitting very comfortably, whatever those reactions are through the body, do not touch that. They do not change that. And they are appropriate to whatever the spontaneous moment calls for. You don't become a blank slate. You don't become only joyful. You don't become only angry. Any of the spectrum is possible. The only thing that changes is the appropriateness of the expression based on what is happening in that moment. Back to the text. Verse 155. Nityananda said, those who do not breathe through the nose have no desires of any sort. Their breath is purely internal. They concentrate their breath in the Brahmarandra, where the Ida and the Pingala meet. They have realized the great self. They look upon all things as self. This is what is called swarajya, or self-governance. What is swarajya is jiva's true place. The light of life is pranavayu. Pranavayu is the capital of swarajya government. Atman is the lord of the swarajya government. Swarajya is one's own energy. This energy must be kept under perfect control. What is swarajya is not a hill. It is not gold. Keeping under control both desire and anger is swarajya. A man must say what he does and do what he says. Acharya Kedar's commentary. A realized being is one who has mastered sushumna breathing. This is the internal breathing. Stepping away from the text for a moment. This is the internal breathing, where it moves up and down within the subtle channel inside the spinal cord. This is not the gross breathing of the lungs. This is something very, very different. Let me begin again with Acharya Kedar's commentary. A realized being is one who has mastered sushumna breathing, also called internal breathing. For such a being, the breath moves upward in the sushumna automatically. This breathing is not the external breathing through the nose or mouth. It is spontaneous kumbhaka, where prana is concentrated in the sahasrara, the crown at the top of the head, where the ida, the pingala, and the sushumna all meet. One who has mastered this pranavayu is a God-realized being. Such a person sees all as her very own self, as God. This state is the birthright of all human souls. It is your place and the goal of all life. This state allows you to govern your mind and your senses so that you are able to maintain equality consciousness. This equality consciousness is self-governance, and it allows you to keep your ego and senses in check so that you vibrate at the highest level of consciousness. Verse 156. Nityananda said, "If you are afraid of water, you cannot cross a river in a boat. If you are afraid of fire, you cannot heat water. Fear must be banished. To accomplish anything worth doing, one must be thoroughly fearless. Mind is the cause of anything we do." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Fear prevents transformation and therefore should be removed completely. In order to accomplish anything in life, you have to be fearless. In spiritual life also, in order to make progress in sadhana, sadhana means spiritual practice, you have to destroy your fears. Action is filtered through the mind. For this reason, the mind has to become very focused. It cannot maintain focus when fear exists. So, one of the goals of spiritual practice is to remove fear. Verse 157. Nityananda said, "On a mango tree, all fruits do not grow at the same time and ripen at the same time. First, we have the tender fruit. By and by, the fruit ripens. The ripe fruit is eatable. So also, men must be like mangoes. In every respect, we must cultivate peace." Acharya Kedar's commentary. In sadhana, people advance at different rates, depending on their personalities and their discipline in practice. The goal of sadhana is peace. One's sadhana has ripened when one experiences supreme peace inside and begins to operate from that place of peace. In every respect, we must cultivate peace. Verse 158. Nityananda said, "The head is the mango. In it is the sweet ambrosia. This ambrosia is the essence of the five senses. This ambrosia is the supreme energy in man." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Like the inside of a ripe mango, the delicious fruit of yoga is in the head, in the crown chakra. In this chakra is the sweet ambrosia of chit shakti. This chitti is the essence and cause of the five senses. It is nectar, the supreme energy in all human beings. Verse 159. Nityananda said, "A house in which there is no lamp at night has no beauty. Whatever the nature of a house, the house is perishable. What a lamp is to a house, a jnana is, what a lamp is to a house is jnana to the body. The light is the light of Kundalini. A thing hidden in mire fetches no value. When it is recovered from Maya, from mire, all make use of it. If you discover a diamond in mire, you do not throw it away." Acharya Kedar's commentary. "If you were to walk around your house at night without light, you would not be able to see the objects there. It's the light that allows you to see in the dark, not the house with its objects. In fact, without light, nothing would have any value since you wouldn't be able to see it in order to attach value to it. So the house and its objects are perishable and really have no value. It's the light that has the value. In the same way, the physical body has no value. It is perishable. It only has worth because there is the light of wisdom inside it. Without that knowledge, the body would not exist. That light is Kundalini, the rising Shakti that leads one on the royal road back to God. Like discovering a diamond in the mud, discover your very own self inside your being. All can make use of that." Verse 160. Nityananda said, "A man falls into a well. We should take him up, not allowing him to die. We must not think that a man will always be bad. We must try to correct him." Acharya Kedar's commentary. Many sway off the spiritual path and are completely ignorant of the fact that such a path even exists. We should not think badly of such people. We should have compassion for even the worst in character. Regardless of past deeds, anyone can be transformed by the hand of God. We must try to bring such people to the spiritual path, to the assistance of the Guru. Verse 161. Nityananda said, "If any powder falls into the eye, our attention is turned to the eye. Similarly, if our outer attention is directed inwards, it is called introversion or internal sight. Ignorance is like a casket of powder. The possessor of a box only knows what is contained in it. Others do not know it. The real wealth is the energy of life. Intelligence is the box. The box is locked after the wealth is stored in it. Locking the box is giving the mind its proper place in the head. That thing received is the soul in man. Turn your soul to God within yourself. Realize internally your own secret. The universe is in you, and you are in the universe. The inner man is the one in all. He who is there and he who is here is one and the same. Acharya Kedar's commentary. What is inside is what is of value. A box containing powder owes its value to the powder inside. In the same way, what's inside a human body is of real value. By turning your entire attention within through meditation, you can come to experience your real value, your real worth, by going inside. Ignorance is the state that most people are in. People walk around not knowing who they really are. The possessor of the powder box is the only one who knows what's inside it. Similarly, the Supreme Being, who created and owns all bodies, all forms, is the only one who knows the real value and purpose of all forms. That Supreme Being dwells inside you. And if you turn your mind within by meditation, you gradually come to realize the secret that you and that Supreme Being are one and the same. The real wealth is the energy of life known as Shakti. This spanda, or this pulsation, is locked inside your body also. To come to know it is a process of closing off or locking the doors to the outside world so that you can direct that energy inside and keep it focused there. Once your individual intelligence is merged in this Spanda Shakti, the mind is trained to focus on Spanda and to see God everywhere at all times. Verse 162. Nityananda said, "The supreme light is the universal light. O mind, abolish the idea of otherness. Have the idea of sameness." Acharya Kedar's commentary. The supreme light is the universal light that is the cause and substance of every form in the universe. O mind, abolish the idea of difference. Abolish the idea of separateness and imperfection. Have the conviction that you and God are one and the same, and that you exist eternally everywhere and in everyone. Stepping away from the text for a moment. The guru of this Swami's guru, Swami Baba Muktananda, was very well known for telling people around the world, "There is nothing that is not God. God exists within you as you. The only thing is, you had to forget that in order to play out your role as an individual actor on the stage of the play of consciousness. It's not punishment, it's how it works. And the knowledge of this is accessible to you if you are willing to do the work to realize it. If you are not, well, that's free will. You can focus on the outer things, or you can focus inward. You can focus both. You can choose. If you choose to focus inward and you wish to gain the eternal infinite goal, it is possible. It requires the assistance of another who has already attained that to get to it the quickest and the easiest. That one will share with you in a way that will assist you. Will it constantly make you happy? No. Will it constantly grant you progress? Yes. Despite what you think or don't think, the progress will occur. It's a very odd thing for the mind to take hold of and can be very difficult. We will start again next week with verse 163. Thank you, Sonic, for pushing the buttons. We leave you now. Namaste and blessings. Om Namo Narayana.